All right. I am super excited to have you here. Welcome to Navigating Mindfulness. Really talking about building our businesses, applying personal growth principles, and just having the most delicious, expansive, amazing life. My name is Cheryl Sutherland. Hi. I am one of your co-hostesses with the mostesses. And with me today, of course, we've got the gorgeous Lisa McGale.
Hello, hello. Welcome, welcome. Thanks for joining us today.
Of course, she's a multipreneur. She's like a boss mom. She's got all the things, like hashtag she is on my vision board. And I didn't even know if that's an actual hashtag, but it is now. And then of course, myself, I do speaking, I do coaching, I have multiple businesses as well. And today we have our amazing guest. Of course, Monica has been one of my friends for like a very long time. And we met actually in Long Beach, just randomly at a networking event. And we've just been running parallel to each other and seeing each other's progress and as they're growing. So, of course, we are talking about personal growth principles and how they attach to each area of our life. And of course, we've talked about the spiritual component. We talked about the money, the liberty. We've talked about relationships. And we haven't really had the opportunity to talk about health and wellness. Now, this is really key because what is the point in having a plethora of money, of having successful businesses, of having delicious relationships if you don't have the physical vitality to really enjoy them? And this is a very unique opportunity because my friend Monica has not only released a plethora of weight. I was gonna swear, and then I chose not to. That was fun. Release a plethora of weight. She has also integrated this into being her lifestyle brand. So, without further ado, I'm going to let the gorgeous Monica Villarreal introduce herself and tell us a little bit more about her journey, and her business as she has gone through and changed her physicality and created so much more for herself. Monica, welcome to
Yay! Welcome, welcome.
the
So excited to hear your story.
Oh, thanks so much, Lisa. And thank you so much, Cheryl. It is always a pleasure to be around you, period. And doing this with you is such an honor. So thank you so much. So yeah, I'm literally that girl. I've struggled with my weight my whole life. I don't think I ever weighed less than 150 pounds at birth. I literally don't remember. From 8 years old, 12 years old, 15, I think I was about 120 pounds at my lightest, super young. And as I got older, my weight just incrementally increased, And so high school didn't have the prom date, didn't have the boy experiences, not until like way later in life, around 32 years old, that I finally decided to turn my life around. And at that point, I was 310 pounds. So I am 5'4", and my waist was 63 inches. Being 5'4", I was 64 inches. So I'm literally as round as I am tall. And there was, life happening all around me. And I knew I was obese. I knew I was super heavy. Like, I couldn't deny that my stomach was attached to my knees. Like, I don't know what your waistline is right now, but again, mine was 63 inches, So I couldn't deny that, but I wasn't doing anything about it. And then, you have that day, and I think I had multiple days. But I remember being 32, and I was just always unhappy, always in the background, angry. And I felt like life was just passing me by. And I was really trying to get to the next level in my career and work. And the day that one of these transactions was about to happen, it was like one of the most important decision-making days. The guy that was going to do this deal with me and with the company I was with said, "You know what? I'm going to back out of this. I don't really feel like Monica can actually walk the facilities that we're going to need, chartered and tracked. And I mean, look at her. She's not very personable and she looks like a barrel. So we're going to need somebody else on the deal." And so I was cut out of this equation simply because of my physical appearance. And when he said barrel, she's a barrel, I got this visual of a barrel and the whole round ass tall. And boy, did it just like, you know, so it was like all of the, I wonder if I'm treated differently. I wonder if things would change for me. I wonder if they think this way. Oh yes, they absolutely were, you know? And so that was just that day, I think it was like something, God, please help me. Like, I really, like, I want to do something, but like, I kept going to the Oreos, you know, night after night and nothing was changing, you know? And so finally, I met somebody who owned a gym, and that just changed everything. It was a little hole in the wall gym, 2 treadmills in the entire place, because I was not going to a 24-hour fitness. I'm 300 pounds. I'm not going in there. People are going to look at me, make fun of me. Treadmill. And I just got on. And I remember at that point, I had 170 pounds to lose. And it just seemed like eating the elephant type deal. Like, how in the hell am I going to do this? And it just was like, you know what? 10 pounds at a time. Can you lose 10 pounds? If you could lose 10 pounds, can you go to the next 10 pounds? So here we are, 170 pounds down. That's how that started.
Oh my gosh. I feel like that, like I needed an Oscar for that. Like, I got tears in my eyes. Yeah. Like the way, words, so many words. And I love the way that you put that in regards to, you know, of course, it was a completely horrific and super unprofessional thing that that man said. However, obviously, it was the thing that you needed. Like when you asked for support and when you're like, God, I need help. I need like something. That was a thing that you needed to have in order to be able to spark that fire underneath you and move through. So wow. So of course, you went through the process of starting to release the weight. So the thing is, I know for myself, I've had a very interesting relationship with my body for the majority of my life. Now, right now, my body type is popular. Great. Awesome. However, that doesn't erase the way that I saw myself for, you know, the 90% of my life. Like, similar to you, like, I feel like I remember thinking that as I was growing up, oh, when I'm 11, I'll be 110 pounds. And then when I'm 12, I'm 120 pounds. And when I'm 13, 130 pounds, and it just kept escalating that way. And I feel like, yeah, of course it has something to do with height. However, it was also like, what is the way that I'm dealing with my body, you know, having conversations with my mom and just seeing my mom consistently dieting and stuff like that, you know, really restrictive on the things that we could eat or that we couldn't eat. And then of course, talking about like the way that our bodies were. And for me, my mom didn't really like her body. She's consistently dieting and like doing all these things and putting herself down. And then, so that was reflected in the way that I dealt with my body and that sort of stuff. So for you, I know that you were saying that that started when you were really young. So what do you feel like were the negative thought processes that you had that really allowed your body to continue holding on to weight, or that it like had you keep eating or support gaining more weight? And then what was the shift? Like, how did you have to change those thought processes? Of course, it's one at a time. However, what do you feel like were the changes that you made in your thought processes that allowed you to release that weight?
There was an extreme awareness that came, you know, and I really feel like when you are trying to overcome this sort of obstacle, you do become spiritual, right? Like, God, please help me, show me the way. And so like in my asking, I started to really dig into like, how did I get this way? Because the question did come up a lot of times. Monica, didn't you see yourself at 200 pounds overweight? Didn't you see it at 210? Didn't you see it at 220, 240? Like, how did you get all the way there and then like not see it? So I had to look at that, because yes, I was releasing the weight and my biggest fear was to have it return, you know, like so I wanted to dissect that. So what I found is that for me, it went all the way back to childhood, and there is this sort of monster that grows in your brain, and it's subconscious, And in the work that we do now, personal development, we know everything that we do is subconscious based on childhood, right? So I started to look at ages 1 through 7 and what happened for me, like what really happened for me. And in my asking and in my meditations, I got this download and this vision and a memory of a day, days. My parents used to argue all the time. My dad used to like throw food. Like my mom would make an amazing, delicious, beautiful meal, put it on the table. We had a beautiful home, a chandelier up top. My dad would get angry and have a habit of throwing the dinner everywhere, all over the chandelier, all over the walls. And I would see my mom like just like in tears on the ground, having to clean up this mess. And when they would argue, my dad would always say, "Let's get out of here. We're going around the corner for Whataburger," or whatever fast food restaurant was around the way. Followed by, "If you don't come with me, you're never going to eat again."
Wow.
And so there was something that just, I got that download and it was like, huh, maybe you developed a scarcity mindset way back when about food. Because it was like, if you don't come with me, you're never going to, it was implanted in me that food was very important. Even when you see your mother sitting on the ground, where I, Cheryl, with every bit and fiber of my being, I wanted to be with my mom and console her and, you know, but I was never going to, and I went. So then there was like this attachment that was created. And furthermore, I started to see it, you know, in celebration, all the normal stuff people do, family, pizza after a sporting event. You know, celebrate. So food was attached to emotion a lot, but that scarcity mindset developed really early on. And I think it was those little nuances of my parents where that was the thing, their arguments. And then it was like, let's go. And food was always the thing that was held over me as a reward. So I made food super important, my soothing, my mechanism for coping. When I need a retreat, where do I go? I think that was implanted really early on for me.
I would agree with that. My story is quite similar to yours. My numbers, I think my top end was 250. I'm like halfway to normal. And I'm actually even a little shorter than you at 5'3". What comes up for me is very similar. A lot of it was implanted when you're younger. But what's shifted for you? Like what shifted for you to turn the corner? Was it that moment of being compared to being a barrel? And then what did you do in your mindset, like outside of asking? Because there are days, right? There are days you just don't want to get up, or there are days that you want to have another Oreo.
Mm-hmm.
What finally? I love you.
Yeah. So I think that the catalyst, of course, is like the change, right? Like first I'm like, yo, this has to change, right? So like you get into action. My first action was getting on that treadmill and going for the 10 pounds. So like the first goal. And, you know, as the days would go on, there were several times that I wanted to quit, you know, because like, I don't know if you can see this, but that's me at one of my highest weights right there.
Wow. Wow.
This is a size 22, 24. My pants today are a size 2.
Wow.
I didn't want to be a size 2 at all. It's just that I started to develop this mindset of like, okay, the Oreos are always going to be there. Right. They're not going anywhere. Dude, Jack in the Box has been in business for thousands of years. You can still go get those tacos, but after you get to your goal. So there became this real like mental warfare, mental gymnasium in my brain where first the awareness, like, wait, this is a monster subconscious. You're making this about like soothing, about coping, about fleeting. Like, is that really in alignment with who you really want to be? No, it's not. I'm using this to soothe myself. So what else can I do? Literally, it was a mental stop. Stop, Monica, like literally the cookie be in my mouth. Stop. Is this what you really want? You know, challenge myself and then choose. A lot of times I chose the cookie. A lot of times I chose the whole pizza. You know what I mean? It was not a linear journey.
Yeah. No, I'm the same. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. But I did notice that I had way more good days than bad days. Where before I was on my regimen for 30 days out of the year, in 320, I was like totally off. and expected, why am I not losing weight? You know what I mean? I just had to switch that around daily.
Yeah. Sometimes meal to meal in the beginning, like for me to string together 100, what I would say successful days, I probably had like 160 non, like what you call the mental gymnastics, that kind of a thing. So you made it to your goal, 170. How long did it take you? How do you feel now? Like now that you've overcome?
So in total, it took me 4 years to lose the weight. But I've kept it off now going on my fifth year. This is my fifth year. It was October the 15th, actually. So yay. It has changed everything. It's changed my work. It's changed, obviously, my confidence. It's changed what I want to share with people. Obviously, the physical, like, changed my body, but it's changed my family. It's changed how I think about things. It's changed my opportunities. You know, right after the 4th of July, posted my first bikini picture. And I wanted to do that because I'm 41. I've never posted a bikini, bathing suit, swimming picture at all. If I posted a bathing suit picture or a beach picture before, I was in jeans and a sweater. No lie. It could have been 110 degrees on Venice Boulevard, but that was my swim gear. So I wanted to post this picture. I posted it in July on a Sunday. On Tuesday, I had two inboxes for a modeling contract from two different companies. One for a corporate design company and one for something else. But just slid in my inbox like, oh my gosh, we really would like to work with you and use your pictures. And I'm like, I never expected that. Never was trying for that. But that's what's manifested, you know, in like pursuit of just becoming better and better and better, you know. So how has my life changed? Oh my God, in ways I didn't even think were possible before. And like even doing this, you know, like it just keeps unfolding and gets better and better and better.
Exciting, right?
Oh, so good. Okay, so I have a question for you. So when you were talking, a couple of the things really came up, and something actually hit me is that level of scarcity, right? So like, even for me, and this is something that I still notice, is that not happening as much, however, I still notice is like, you have to eat all of it, or that's not gonna happen. Like, or if I'm going on vacation or I'm going somewhere else, it's like, oh, I have to eat this and da da da, because otherwise I might not be able to enjoy this experience again. I might not have this, et cetera, et cetera. So in understanding that you have this abundance of options, of foods, of opportunities, it kind of loosens things up for you, and it doesn't make it so hard to be like, no, I'm okay. Like, I still am amazed when people like make a meal and they're like, yeah, no, I'm just gonna wait. For like, you know, I'm okay, I'm just gonna wait. I'm like, what do you mean? The meal is here. Let's do the things, right? So for you, that opening up and shifting that scarcity when it came to food, how did that affect all the other areas of your life? Again, like whether you were still in your 9-to-5, and then of course, as you were building your own business, do you think that allowing that abundance to be yours changed the way and the results that you're getting right now?
Absolutely. Yeah, the more that you dig into that, like, first of all, it's going to be awareness. So all of those nuances of like, oh, I'm on a trip and oh, there's this meal. Like, first comes the awareness that you're thinking that way. And then you get to ask yourself, like, is this true? Is this really the only time I'm going to be here to have this meal? You know, and if it is, like, do I want it? You know what I mean? Do I really? And just choosing consciously, that is super important, and it'll change a lot of things. But for instance, going to a buffet, I used to go to a buffet and my mind would be like, yo, like three plates, girl, like get your money's worth, eat three plates, stay there for all the time. They're not going to kick you out. To me, that equates to a scarcity mindset. Like, what is that stemming? That stems from like, wait, there's never going to be food ever again. I'm never going to have the money to pay for this again, like get my money's worth. Is that true? Am I really getting my money's worth? What am I doing to my body by eating? Because I would sit in the dessert section of the buffet, you know? What am I really giving myself? Am I, so literally every scenario, having to analyze, like having the awareness to look at it and then just asking myself, is that true? Am I really getting my money's worth? You know, is this, And the more I'll tell you, I was a buffet fanatic. Like that was my deal. I used to go to restaurants based on the plate size. Give me the most food for my money, right? Scarcity mindset. You know what I mean? What am I really giving myself? A shit ton of stuff I don't need. You know what I mean? And so it was just, my biggest thing is flipping the script. Is that true? Usually it's not. It's just not true. Yeah, I'm on this trip. It's not that I'll never have it again. That's not true. Mm-hmm. Oh, grandma says, mija, you know, when you come over, like you're getting too skinny. That's not true. It's just true. That's not true.
Yeah. So for me, it's the awareness is definitely the jumping off point. And then for me, it's the labeling. So I love how you even take it one step further and like ask yourself, is it true? And then it becomes the label and then the experiencing of, and we talk about it a lot in our podcast about releasing that thought after and then living your best life. So I love that you asked that question. Is it true?
Yeah. Is it true? And it's super empowering because like, for instance, going to an outing and I know everyone's going to be drinking. I love wine, whiskey. Like these are my, you know, my jam. Yeah. But there was a period, like, let's just say this holiday season where you've got like 17 events, you know, if you've got a lot of friends and a lot of things you're working, we're networking, you've got 17 events throughout the month. If I drank whiskey and wine every single time, legit, I'm gaining the 10 pounds, the holiday 10, right? Yeah. It's just going to happen. So I was always like, oh my God, I can't go to this event. I can't go because now if I go, I'm going to drink. So I'm just not going to go. Is that true? No, it's totally not true. So I had to challenge myself to actually show up, right? And my girlfriend was like, take a drink with you. Take your own drink, put it in your purse and take it with you. Take a LaCroix, take whatever. In my head, that's so stupid. That is so dumb. Why am I going to, I'm going to look dumb, right? Mm. Is that true? Is that true? So I had to challenge that. Literally showing up to an event with the drink in my purse, showing up to the movies with my own little popcorn measured out. It felt really stupid in the beginning, but it was my way of ensuring control. And I had to challenge, like, is that true? And I swear to you, every time, like I went to the party, I still legit had fun. I learned I'm fun without wine. Like I didn't think that that was true, but I learned that. I didn't think that I could go to the movies without having the super buttery popcorn. And like, mind you, it was different, but I survived. I still had a good time by taking my own little, save some money. You know what I mean? So like, is that true? And then literally walking through that fire for yourself to experience it, to be like, yo, it's okay. Like, it's okay. I can do this.
Yeah. It's amazing too, when you give up the scarcity, the amount of abundance that you find on the other side, right? Like, so we don't, I mean, pandemic aside, we don't go out to eat as much, right? We're having way healthier, better food. And I got to tell you, I mean, we go out easily. I'm dropping, you know, some money. My daughter has like crazy taste. But now it's,
so do I,
right?
I love good food. Yeah.
Right. So now it really has made a difference. So there is abundance. Once the minute you give up the scarcity mindset, it's like the world just surprises you with how much more is out there. Like your direct inboxes. Those are cool.
That was pretty dang cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. And I have a question in regards to perception. So one of the things that I feel like has been my block for releasing weight or, you know, whatever, has been like, how am I going to be perceived? And not only, of course, going through the hassle of like, you know, buying new clothes or blah, 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 but like, how are people going to see me? Like, I've just been this person for so long. If I release the weight and if I become less of like, you know, like people know me and people talk about me, they're like, yeah, Cheryl, the girl with the big booty. Like, yeah, 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 that one. It's just like, I have a face. Like, you can say the girl with the cute face. You do have a cute face. However, this is how people know you and recognize you, right? So there's definitely a persona attached to it. I feel like when some people are moving from like one job to like starting a new career, or like their career gets taken from them, like they've always known themselves as like the accountant or the doctor. It's just like, who do I become after this? So with you, with of course releasing that amount of weight, do you feel like there was a difference in how people perceived you, how people communicated with you, and then also how you saw yourself?
I love this question. This is a big shift, and I'm going to be really, really honest with you. And it's triggering something in me right now, and I don't know why, but I'm going to be honest. On one of those walkthroughs that I had to do at one of those facilities, I met up with a woman, and I was 300 pounds, and she was probably 6'2", 270, I don't know, but I mean, tall, big, very big. And she had like big middle section, skinny arms, skinny legs. She was just big in the middle. She walked through that facility. She was like the manager, and she was showing me, you know, what was going on. And I could see her like, hey, da, 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 hey, da, da, da. And what clicked for me was, this woman is big. She's big in stature, but she's big in her persona, right? Like, she was just big. And I don't know why I turned around and there was like a mirror put in front of me. And it was like, is that what you're doing? Have you made yourself big so that you feel big? And I had to really look at that. And I'll be so honest with you, right now that I'm a size 2, part of my scarcity mindset says, if I get any smaller, people aren't going to see me. People aren't going to notice me if I'm not as curvy as I am now, because I got some, you know, curves, and, you know, I'm still like a little thickness to me. If I lose more, are they going to see me? I'm going to be so small. These are thoughts. This is like, because I have this extreme, this is what I'm saying to myself. I'm going to be so small. So again, is that true? Is that true? Like, am I going to be so small? And so there came this realization that I was attached, much like you're saying, people, when they have these careers and they shift careers, there's this identity shift, because that career being attached to that made them feel big. You know, it was part of their, like, who they were. And when that gets taken from you, you start to feel small. You know what I mean? So I literally went from a physical manifestation of being big, like wanting to feel big, to becoming small, but having to realize that my bigness, just like yours, Cheryl, oh my God, it comes from your heart, from your energy, from your joy, from what you bring on stage, the light, you know, things that people say to me, like, oh, Monica, you're so, like, you're this and you're that, you know, that's here, you know, that's in my core, that's in my heart, that had nothing to do with my body. You know, what I really wanted, like we were talking from the very beginning of this podcast, was to be healthy physically, because I could have all of the most amazing deliciousness manifest for me in the world. But if I wasn't spiritually connected, physically sound, to like enjoy that, to appreciate it, then what was it all for? Mm-hmm. You know, so I had to be okay with becoming small and acknowledging that my big was inside. It wasn't outside.
Wow.
That was a quote right now. That was a quote. Write it down, people. Say it one more time. I had to become small to realize that my big was on the inside. Is that what it was? I don't know what it was. I'm going to have to play and then like write it down. Maybe like get it on like a plaque or something. That was amazing. I love that.
So true. That was a big shift. And it's interesting because I still have that conversation with myself today. Like it was literally 2 days ago and I caught myself like, really? Wow. I said that. I'm going to get so small. I'll be so small. And then they won't see me.
Wow. So in your line of work, of course, you actually have your own brand. So you work with a company. However, you are coaching and consulting to support people in their own weight loss journey. So what do you feel like, and I know you shared your particular block, but what do you feel like has been some of the most interesting things that you've uncovered while working with your clients as to why they've chosen to hold on to the weight or regain the weight or not allow the weight to be gone?
Just resistance, sheer resistance, and not being able to wrap their head around like the delayed gratification, right? Mm-hmm. So like, I will give you an amazing recipe for a cauliflower pizza. This is in alignment. It'll keep you on your goals. It tastes great. It won't bloat you. It's awesome. But for some reason, they'll go choose the Little Caesars. Mm. You know what I mean? So it's literally like sheer resistance. That always is the thing where it's like, why did you choose that when you had this option? Well, I don't know, because it sounded so good. Yes, girl, but you're forgetting you don't look good. You told me that. You don't look good. You don't feel good. Your clothes don't fit. You forgot that in that moment. So it's literally this like lizard brain. You know, like when there's a lizard yeah. perched on a thing and like you walk up to it, it's like, scat, like, it is like no time in between. Yeah. They're like, yo, I don't care. You gave me that cauliflower. Like, what's that? That's not even real. That's another thing. That's not real food. Cauliflower people, that's not real food. I needed some real food, Monica. So I went and got myself a burger. And I'm like, that's a misconception, right? Mm-hmm. You forget that what you eat is going to be ingested and everything is going to be extracted from it. So let's remember the process of eating. Everything's going to be extracted from it and go into you. Mm-hmm. So what are you putting into you? That was another thing. When I started to look at what I was putting into me, it was nothing but a chili cheese fry, wiener schnitzel, pizza, and lasagna. And when you break those down, they don't have any nutrients on them. You know what I mean? They really aren't real food. Mm-hmm. They're comfort food for sure. You know, so just the resistance to flipping the script and really taking a look at like what's real.
I have a question, because we went from facility managing or whatever to now you're a wellness coach. There's a transition there that I want to fill in the gap a little bit. So you had a corporate career and now you're exclusively in lifestyle. Is that what happened? Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. So I've been wellness coaching now, again, going on my fifth year.
Oh, okay.
But I was in the corporate world ever since I was 18. I worked for the largest trash company, waste management, for a good 12 years.
Right.
And the recession hit. And so at that point, all I wanted was job security. I was literally the one where I'm like, I need a good job. Like most of us, I need a good job. What do I do? Well, there'll always be trash. And the trash company pays really well. Go do that. Oh, and guess what? It was a customer service job, so I could literally sit on my butt all day. And I felt like, yo, this is the life for me. Like, you know, then the economy changed. And so I got laid off from the trash world. And so I thought, well, what else should I do? I need the next best job. So I got into ultrasounds because I thought I could take care of people, because there's always going to be sick people. What's another economy that I don't have to worry about another layoff? That's how most people think, right? Like, need another job. And so I got into ultrasounds and I started doing that. I started teaching ultrasounds. Wow. And that was another probably big shift for me, was scanning a 300-pound person who had high blood pressure, who had diabetes, working on their arteries and carotids, you know, their internal circulation, and just seeing my future. That's a really compelling vision when you're like, because I used to be like, I'm healthy. I don't have high blood pressure. I'm not diabetic. I'm healthy. Monica, you're 300 pounds. You are not healthy. You know what I mean? Yeah, it hadn't set in for me yet. Thank God. But I was not healthy. So yeah, big, big transition. And then lead me all the way here. So now I've been completely independent, you know, and live this life of creation, which is amazing, which is now I'm manifesting, Monica, because the universe has shown me too many times that you can have anything and everything that you want, provided you're brave enough to go out there and work for it.
Cheryl is silently yes. clapping in the background. I'm like cheering you on. I'm like, yes, yes, yes.
And that's when myself and Monica met, was when she was working at the ultrasound company.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. So like, she's like, yeah, come in for free ultrasound. I'm like, I don't know what this is, but I like free things. And then they scanned me and I'm like, I guess I'm good. And then we still stayed friends and the universe kept bringing us back together. We met at a different networking event. And then I met your husband at a different network. And I was like, oh, you're Cody. And I was like, oh, so that just kept going. And I don't know, like even when I was in California a couple years ago,
going
to an Abraham Hicks event, and randomly, of course, who is the most amazing person that would obviously be there? Monica. So we've just been, I don't know, we've just been friends, and everything just keeps, you know, bringing us back together. And I'm so excited to keep playing with her. So I do have another question. So in regards to the way that you have chosen to build your business, again, there's so many different ways that people can release weight. What was the decision that really made you feel like the way that you're supporting people is unique and super supportive for these people?
I do it with them. I do it with them. So everything, I put everything on online. So all my socials are full of everything that I'm doing, from what I'm eating, my routine, how I'm cleaning my face, how I'm working with my kids, how I'm, I mean, learning, reading. I share all of that. And so number one, what I think that does is it lets people know that I am constantly trying to evolve, you know, and I'm sharing how I'm doing it. And I'm super consistent with it. It's literally every day, like 6 a.m., you know, 12 o'clock, like you can expect to hear from me somewhere. So people have just gotten to know, like, you know, if you said, you know, well, Monica's not, they wouldn't believe you, I don't think, you know? So I think that's the biggest thing, is that I'm doing it with you, you know? And then the fact that I've kind of been there, done that, I pretty much have heard every obstacle that can come up, you know, even something like, well, I can't do it today because my cat is sick. And I'm like, what does that have to do with your eating? You know, it's crazy what people will put in front of them. But being able to emotionally stabilize them in the moment so that they can move forward is super important. And that's something that I've only learned from emotionally stabilizing myself, you know, so I'm having to transfer what I'm doing to them. So we're doing it together, I think, is the difference.
Yeah, that level of authentic leadership is always super important, especially when it comes to releasing weight. I know for myself, like a lot of the trainers that I've worked with, I'm like, you just don't understand. You don't understand my body. You don't understand what I'm going through. And even if it's really, really small, like you look at them and you're like, okay, great. Like you look amazing. You've never really had to worry about lower back pain when you're running because your butt is so big, right? Or you've never really had to, like, when they're like, oh, you have to press your back against the machine. I'm like, I'm not able to because my ass is in the way, you know, like you have never had to think about those things. Or even when it comes to, I've had some people be like, oh, running is bad for you. Even though, like, I used to love running when I was attempting to lose weight. And then, so it's like, okay, well, what is this disconnect? What is this back and forth? Like, how do I actually support my body? Do you know about my body? Do you know about my body type and how, what would be best for me? Right. So in the same idea of authentic leadership, what do you feel like with your weight loss journey has been, again, the biggest tools to support you in building your business? I know that you said, you know, you had that lovely opportunity to, when you approach a solution, say like, is that true? And then shift that around. However, is there any additional tips that you feel like, or tricks or practices from your weight loss journey that you think has allowed you to have the thriving, successful business that you have right now?
Great question.
Yeah. You definitely want accountability. So like, that's going to be game one, is like, you're going to have to share with somebody like what you're trying to do. So in the beginning for weight loss, I shared with just a person, right? Like I have a coach, and me and my coach could talk secretly independently about my own weight loss journey. But as I evolved, I started to share that on social media, like what challenge I was going to challenge myself to. And then I would do that on the socials. Doing that on social media, now I have millions of eyes watching me. I don't even know how many eyes watching me. And just subconsciously, that installed a level of like integrity within me, where like literally throughout the day, I was watching my water and I was watching my eating and my movement more intensely, more closely, because I knew that I was showing up on video every day. And like in 2 weeks from now, if I looked fatter or like not any better, people were going to be like, yo, like you, yeah, you're hopping on, but like, you're not really doing the do, you know? And so adding it to social media was another level of accountability, where like it just naturally forced me to be in alignment throughout the day with my little, like Lisa was saying, the little hour to hour decisions, so that it would show up online. Now, I then reach out to people, because in the business of socials, that's what we do, right? We're expanding and building relationships. It is much easier to start a relationship and to say, hey, Lisa, I can help you, when I'm doing it, as opposed to if I say, yo, Lisa, you can do this, and I'm eating donuts. I don't know about you. I'm just like, my integrity will not allow for me to share with Lisa if I'm not doing it. So it forced me to be integrative in the back end and show up, but it also allowed me to then be genuine when I was sharing and wanting to approach people like, dude, you can totally do this, because I was actually doing it, you know? And so I always find that when I'm in it and I'm actively doing it, my business just snowballs, because I'm just so at ease at like, oh my gosh, dude, you're stressed out. Like, dude, I could totally help you. Like, wait, what do you need? Like, because I'm doing it. When I'm not doing it, I won't share it with you. And that's just, I think, a natural part of me, maybe a lot of people. So yeah, putting it out there in like in the back end, it helped me. But then it also helped me on the front end when I was in my pursuit and action, because I could be genuine. I wasn't lying, you know?
Yeah. Accountability is huge.
I have a question, because you have now identified social as being a tool. Did you ever at any point hesitate to use social as a tool? Like, did you have a fear? Did you have a fear of being judged? Did you have a fear?
Lisa,
I feel like this is all you, girl. you have no, right? So many brands, all of our business, anything that I've ever done has all been referral based. And the first time I ever posted a before and after was on Halloween. And it was somebody gave me the language, like, everyone's putting on their mask, I'm taking it off. And there are two photos side by side. And I want to say there was probably like 500 engagements within, it was so overwhelming. And it was literally for me to find an accountability group to do like in the morning. What I didn't expect was like, oh, you look great, keep it up. Like, my cousins came out of the work, keep up with, you know, like all this great stuff. And Cheryl knows this about me. It's so uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And when you identify social as a tool, I'm in here shaking right now. The fear, the judgment, like, you're actually using it to empower yourself. What is, you know, tell me a little bit about that.
Oh my gosh, I love this question. This is my favorite. This is a favorite answer. And I really hope that this helps you and anybody else that is dealing with that concept. Number one, it's just a concept. It's a thought that you're having, right? Is it true? Perhaps it's, you're making it true. You know what I mean? But here's what I do know. The universe works in laws, right? We're all in agreement there. And there is such a thing as the law of numbers. So you cannot manipulate or change the law of numbers. I love you. You're unique. You're special and you're super powerful, but you cannot change the law of numbers. And the law of numbers says that out of 100, okay, 33 of the 100 are for you. They are for you. There's nothing you can do. You can't shake them off. You can't push them away. They are for you, those 33. The second 33 in that 100 equation are 50-50 with you. They're kind of sort of like Lisa. They're kind of like, yeah. You're like that with people, right? Take them or leave them kind of thing, 50-50. And then they're going to be 33 in that 100. They don't like you at all. Who cares? You really don't want everybody to like you at all, you know?
Right.
When I understood and really just held on to the law of numbers exists and realize that everybody has their 33. Everyone has their 33. All I had to do was go find them. Were there going to be people that half like me? For sure. And were there going to be people that didn't like me at all? For sure. That's just the law of numbers. It literally had nothing to do with me. So in that, I just found the 33 that were for me And then I got like really picky and decided to play with the ones that I really like, which is like Cheryl, right? Like the universe kept swirling her literally into my vortex. Like, how do you show up at a seminar with hundreds of people and she's literally in the corner? And I'm like, dude, that's my girl. And like, these are the things, you know what I mean? And I'm like, oh my God. So you stick with your 33. And look, this is years later. She still supports me. I still support her. I love her to death. She knows that. You know what I mean? She's in my 33. She came from the vortex, from like going out to a networking event. Let's just say socials are a way to put yourself out there. But the networking event was another one, right? I got to show up. I don't know anybody. Who's going to talk to me? How am I going to go in there? Girl, go find your 33.
Yeah.
Go find your 33.
Yeah. Thank you. I love that. You're like Cheryl is swirling around for our audience. She's swirling around, arms flailing into like Monica's vortex.
Yes.
Into Monica's vortex.
So I want to know, what would you recommend, like your top three mindfulness habits, personal growth habits, whichever? Of course, everybody knows that me, I'm the affirmation queen. That was not self-appointed. That was thrust upon me. And I willfully accept that title. So the affirmation queen, I love affirmations. I'm also very much into meditation and journaling. So those are my top three. So what do you feel like could be the top three, especially when either you're looking to release some weight or to really start building this new persona of who you are choosing and to become?
What are my top three techniques you're asking?
Yeah, like your mindfulness practices.
Well, definitely
manifestation practices.
Well, definitely in regards to the mindfulness, it's the self-awareness, you know, really taking a look at what is it you're saying in your brain. And this takes a level of understanding that you are basically going to look at your life like you're sitting in a movie theater, right? Like, if you could sit in the stands and see what's being played, like if you could go sit there, that's the awareness that you need. Because then if you can see the movie, you could be like, I don't really like this script. And then we can change it. You know what I mean? So trying as much as you can to ask yourself, like, is this true? Or like, what's really happening here? Putting yourself in the observer seat. I will say number two, understanding any of these changes that you're trying to make are going to start with your willpower. Something is going to trigger you to start and you're going to be willed, compelled to get started. But that will power, just so you know, per science, goes away really quickly. And statistically, it's about the 22nd day. So I don't know if any of you friends are starting a new habit, waking up early, eating better, exercising. For some reason, around the third week, month's time, they always say, I lost the momentum. I was doing so good, but something happened. That's because willpower goes away on the 22nd day. So knowing this, you're going to have to fight and turn your willpower into now a skill power. So like my workouts were challenging the first 22 days because it wasn't a habit. After 60 days, it became a skill. I just get up and do it, right? Now, 120 days later, when I see my jeans change, my shirts are smaller, will skill becomes a thrill. You are thrilled with your results, but you got to go from being willpower oriented to getting into the skill of doing it, to being thrilled with your results and fighting through that process for every little nuance of change you're trying to make, whether that's financial, spiritual, physical, I don't care. Will, skill, thrill. That's the second thing.
Love that. Love that.
Yeah, because your brain is very tricky. Your brain is very tricky and it does not like to change. And like, yo, I was 32 when I decided to change all of this. My brain was like, we've been eating pizza for 32 years. Like, bring that back. I want the chicken and waffles and whiskey and whipped cream, you know? And I had to fight through that because then there was the, oh, well, you've lost 50 pounds. Like, you deserve it. No, I'm still 100 pounds overweight. I don't deserve it yet, you know? So I think then my third tip would be like, just you flip your script. You got to talk that delayed gratification mindset. Like, Baskin-Robbins isn't going anywhere. Grandma's, you know, whatever Nana makes for you, it's not going anywhere. No, not, you know, yes, I can say no. I must say no for right now, you know, because my future self is depending on that. And literally the 5 years that I was saying no, I can tell you is worth tenfold what I'm experiencing right now. I promise.
Lovely, lovely.
Okay to say no. And I love how, and I want to play with that a little bit. Instead of it being like delayed gratification, it's like amplified gratification. Do you know what I mean? Instead of me saying like, I'm going to get this lovely peak of like serotonin or, you know, like endorphins or whatever right now, I'm actually going to be able to have that and so much more over the long run because I'm able to live more, do more things, go in more activities. And like, I think also just the feeling of being capable. Like I love, like every time they're like, yeah, what are your goals with losing weight? Or like, you know, when you get a new trainer or whatever, I'm like, well, my goal now is been to just to feel really good and feel really capable. Like I'm strong enough to do things and I can run after things or I can climb things and not have to hesitate and think like, I'm going to look stupid or can I even lift myself or all that sort of stuff. Right. And then just thinking about all the delicious things that you'll be able to do as a result of being able to drop the 50, 20, 10, you know, like 100, 300, whatever pounds. And then also like the amazing opportunities that you're able to give and like the family you're able to have, like, you know, being able to experience more time with your kids, if you have kids or your nephews or people that you mentor, you know, just being able to say like, how do I say, I feel like the relationships between us and the younger generations shift so greatly from when they were younger to like, as they're becoming older, where they're understanding like that thing that you kept saying actually was like a thing, and like come to you for an advice, that shifting of their relationship where it's just so beautiful. However, if you're not around for that amount of time, then there's no way that, you know, your kids are going to be able to ask you advice about school or ask you advice around, you know, dating or relationships or child rearing, like, and it's so precious when they come to you for these things versus you attempting to put your own will on somebody else, you know?
Right. So if I could really quickly interject to that. As far as my family is concerned, my kids, they don't do what I say. They're 14, you know, they're 13. They don't do what I say, but I promise you that they absolutely do what I do. And so that has been a really big shift, is that the things that I want for them, I do, and they see them. So it's not uncommon now for my daughter to get my workout gear and like run outside and like, where are you going? Mom, it's been 2 days. I haven't ran. I need to go run. Oh, this is not anything I've told her to do, but she sees me go out every single day. The other day, Junie, what do you want for breakfast? Oh, I want some papaya. We used to have Nutella and waffles every morning. You know what I mean? But she sees the change in me. Now she's asking for things. My son, the same thing. Mom, you know, look at my biceps. He shows me, you know, because he sees me working on mine. So influence is so important, and that's who's around you and what you're putting out. You know what I mean? So also being aware of that is just super uber important, you know, for the livelihood of your relationships too. Like, be what you want to see. Yeah. You really need to do that.
And I love that, because in regards to what we were just talking about, in regards to gratification, the level of gratification that you get as a result of your children modeling behaviors after you, I don't have children. So for me, it's just like, wow, you know what I mean? And so for y'all that have the little kidlets, it's like, I'm actually helping this person, or like, helping form this person to something. Like, it's just amazing. It's funny, when I was just back home, and my youngest nephew decided that he was going to bring his girlfriend over to meet me. So he literally got on public transit, went to the opposite side of the city, got this girl, brought her back to spend some time, be like, yeah, I just wanted you to meet her. And I was like, for me, I was like, wow, this kid actually cares about me enough to say like, I'm important enough in his life for him to be like, I want to introduce you to that person. And for me, I was all like, wow, this is like, I'm actually making a very big impact. Like this person cares and respects me and like actually wants my input. And then for y'all as parents, like for me, I was all like, oh my God, that's really cool. Like a little bit.
That is.
However, to see that modeled in your children, like that must be so amazing. So thank you so much for sharing that. Lisa, do you have any final words for the gorgeous manifesting Monica?
I really want to say how much I appreciate you and your authenticity for sharing all of the tips that you had and just taking the time, because I know you're on the West Coast so early and taking time out of your day and just keep going. Like, I don't feel like you need the encouragement. However, I do want to share with you to keep going because you definitely have impacted us and I know we impact others and that's really why we do what we do, right? So from our children to our colleagues, to our families, it's really inspiring. And may goodness come to you, like more goodness come to you.
Thank really. You.
That's it.
I received that. And thank you guys. I love you so much for this. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yay. Okay. So
that's a wrap for me, Cheryl.
Yeah. I've got some more like wetness in my eyes. I don't know exactly what that is. However, it feels like we're wrapping for today. And I am just so grateful to continue to attract such amazing people in my life. Like I'm dumbfounded at the relationships that I thought were A1 before and the difference in the people that I'm attracting, the people that I get to call friend, the people that I know are always there for me no matter what. And Monica is definitely one of them. Of course, Lisa is one, but she knows that. However, it's a very clear indication of like, again, letting go of something to allow something more in. And I think that has been the theme of today. Even though we were focused on the fitness aspect, it is all about releasing that scarcity. When you release that scarcity, so much more deliciousness can come in and it's so much more satisfying and gratifying. So with that, Monica, where can everybody find you?
They can find me on my socials, Instagram, it's manifesting_Monica. And if you want to find me on Facebook, it's Monica Rose Villarreal.
Yeah.
So, I look forward. Reach out.
Gorgeous. We're going to put that in the show notes so people will be able to click,
for sure,
find you, hunt you down, and also attempt to become one of your 33.
Yes.
It is my absolute pleasure to wrap today's episode. And I hope that whoever is listening to this, they also have the opportunity to receive the insights that we've received. And of course, share this. You might have somebody in your life that you've been thinking about that you would love to support in some sort of process, to share this with them and allow them to chart their own path. So with that, we're going to see you next time. Thank you for coming to show up and listen to Manifesting Mindfulness. And next week, we are going to have another delicious episode, A1, like steak sauce. I'm one of your co-hosts, Cheryl Sutherland. And of course, we've got the gorgeous Lisa McHale. And we will see you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.